In Hebrews chapter 11, the first verse says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So there, of course, very familiar verse. We have a very good description of faith, substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So I'd like to just begin and speak a few minutes about faith, but then go into belief. So faith is the evidence of things not seen. If we're to believe something, if we believe anything, we have to have evidence for that. Even though we were represented, we were there present at the cross when Jesus Christ represented us there in the judgment of God. But I didn't see it. I didn't live then. I don't know what that would have been like. But through faith, we have evidence of that. And yet, having that evidence, we then have the belief that that took place. We each, I believe, have experiences or thoughts or feelings, emotions that support that evidence, that support our belief, that only maybe we can't even put it into words, but things have happened in my life. I've had things to occur that would build up my faith. It would increase and firm up my belief in Jesus Christ and what He's done. That I know, and that's justification by faith, that within myself I realize that Jesus Christ did that. And we can go one step farther and realize in fullness that He completed what He had to complete on the cross, and that we have nothing else to do in that. And that's a great blessing in our life, in our lives. Let me go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians chapter 5. In the 22nd verse, again, this is very familiar territory, I know. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So faith is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. We don't have, belief is not there, but the evidence is there. Faith is there in the fruit of the Spirit. If we're going to believe that Jesus Christ saved us from our sin, if we believe in God, period, then we must have the evidence which is given us in faith. And we at some point in our natural lives, either prior to natural birth or after, we're given faith. And it doesn't tell us to add faith. It says add to your faith these other things, and we're going to grow in knowledge, and that again solidifies the evidence that we've been given. But faith is the is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So you can see what we're given. This is given in regeneration, and I'll later on, Lord willing, I'll go to John chapter 3, and that's where Jesus is talking about regeneration, being born again. That's the point that we receive the fruit of the Spirit. We're not given just enough faith that we might then believe to finish up the work of Christ. Even saying that is ludicrous to me. It doesn't even make sense. Jesus Christ finished the work. Now, whether or not, and this is where I'm headed, and this is where some of the songs that were selected by Sister Maria and Sister Jacqueline and others, that it talked about our walk here and God guiding us and what we're to do, but it's after we've been blessed with the fruit of the Spirit. It's not to gain that. And it's not out of fear. It's out of fear or reverence to God, yes, that we serve Him, but it's not out of fear of not going to heaven. It's because we know we are going to heaven. We'll be with Jesus Christ one day, because He loses not one. But we're given that in regeneration and being born again, born from above. We're given faith and the rest of this fruit of the Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so I'm going to hit some of these verses that just flow together and that prove one another. In one of the statements I just made, the 14th verse, second chapter, 1 Corinthians says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So the natural man, and we are all, we'll see wording in a moment in a verse, if I end up going there, Jesus Christ even mentions that those that did not believe him, his word, were children of the devil. We don't believe that there are two different fathers, but we take on the attributes of those that we're acting like, and that the natural man, we all come from Adam. Adam and Eve, the first that God created, Adam and Eve there in the garden, and so when we are prior to being born again in our lives, we are simply a natural man. We don't have the spiritual man within us, that new creature given by God. We don't even have the although I might. Have the desire or the want to be able to contrast that and to have that feeling, but I really don't. Sometimes I think I'd love to know what that feeling is for an instant of not even knowing God, not even loving Jesus Christ, so I could contrast that, because I don't remember. I don't know that, but I know at some point in my life that I was just natural man, but I don't remember that. I've always loved God, never understood completely, and certainly never will, but we are not to stop growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That gives us comfort, that gives us, it makes us grow in grace and peace in the knowledge of God, of the Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so I want that. I want more. That gets us through those times that we have lost our job, where we're suffering physical ailments, or one of our family members is suffering in some way, and in praying to God and seeing the answer to those prayers, then it builds our faith. It solidifies that we have, and we're given the measure that we need in our lives here, and we're given eternal life at that moment. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. So there's no way that I can preach the gospel, go out and preach the gospel to a natural man, and him to receive that and believe it and act upon it if he's not born from above. He doesn't have the Spirit within him. So that it's a waste of my time and his. And so we preach the gospel to those. It is a salvation to those, but those that believe, that already have the evidence within them there. Now in Romans, the first chapter, Romans chapter 1, a couple of verses here. 16th verse says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You already believe. I don't preach the gospel to you so that you will believe it and then be given life. If you have an ear to hear, then you've already been given that spiritual life. You have that there. And in a moment, we'll see that. Let me jump back real quickly to Galatians, back where I was, after it lists the entirety of the fruit of the Spirit, in the 25th verse it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, right there, encapsulated in that verse 25, is where my problem comes up, is walking in the Spirit. I believe, I firmly believe that I live in the Spirit, that I've been born from above, born again. But if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's where we have the desire to do that, and we have great blessings in doing that. But we already believe that. And then it says here in the 17th verse, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So who is that? Who in that last phrase there, in the ending of that sentence, the just shall live by faith. If we are just, we've been made righteous, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then if that's the case, we were represented on the cross when he died and washed us of our sins in his blood. And so the just shall live by faith. But it says that the gospel is revealed from faith to faith. It's not from faith to those who have no faith. They're not going, it's going to be foolishness. And that makes perfect sense. If someone tries to convince me of something and I have no evidence of that, either I'll go and try to find the evidence and then back that up and say, okay, now I understand, I believe that. But if there is no evidence to support that, then I'm not going to, I can't just say, well, okay, I believe that. I believe it. I just, one can't do that. It goes against even our human nature there. But therein is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. We see his righteousness. Now, in that, I see also in the sufferings of Jesus in his life. On the cross, in the crucifixion, prior to the crucifixion, when he was suffering at the hands of wicked men, I see there the love, and I don't understand the love, the level of love there that it took God to put his only begotten Son through that, but I believe, and we have an earnest of that inheritance, that feeling within us, the life within us, but we still have that sin plaguing us there. And so I don't understand that love, but I have a hope that in heaven, in body, soul, and spirit, that I will understand that, I'll see that love, but we'll be in the presence of it. Of God, who is love, and have no sin filtering our thoughts and our knowledge there. So I long for that. But he gives us what we need here. He gives us the evidence that we need. But we are to in order to be disciples of Christ. It was listed several things that these people, us, we as a church, did in the last month or so, great blessing for those that participate in that. But that's discipleship. It's showing charity for those in need. Did that get us any closer to heaven? Did that get me a better seat in heaven? No, I'm going to be there. And just as those who have never set foot in the church, maybe they had an opportunity, but they're not. They don't come, but they're going to be right there. They're going to be enveloped in the love of Jesus Christ. What we sow here, we reap here. And I fear in that, knowing myself, I can't be judgmental of those around me when I've got too much to judge in myself here. But I stand firm on the evidence through faith that God loves me eternally and that I'm saved. And now I strive to serve him. And it's not simply just to get by. I can look back, and what builds in my the encouragement in me is seeing the great blessings in doing that. And sometimes they seem small, maybe trivial, but they build up my hope in God Almighty and Jesus Christ. So it's revealed faith to faith, and the just shall live by faith. Now in John, Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. Of John, John chapter 8. Jesus Christ, I'm going to get three or four verses out of this dialogue here, but mainly a contrast. But in John chapter 8, the 31st verse, well, it's in 31st says, begins a sentence, as he spake these words, Jesus Christ, many believed on him. Then Jesus said, Jesus, to those Jews which believed on him. So there must have been some here in his presence that did not believe on him, and we'll see that in a moment. But he said, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If ye continue in my word, lowercase w there, word, then ye are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is not speaking anything eternally here. This is right then and there, that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know, you'll understand, you'll be resolved to that. That's what that knowledge is. If they already believed in Jesus Christ, that he was the Redeemer, the Savior, the Son of God, then they already had the life within them. And so they had that knowledge. That's not the knowledge he's talking about here, but to be sure, to be resolved, and to understand but it says it's conditional, if ye continue in my word. We have to continue in that. And yet, I know, 15 years from now, however long I may live, that I'll always have that knowledge that graven in my heart by God, of Him, the Almighty God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. I'll have that there. But if I don't continue in His Word, then there's a difference between being simply a child of God and then being a disciple. I see much discipleship. I've seen it in 2018. I've seen discipleship, and when you do anything under your brothers or sisters, it's as if you've done it under Jesus Christ. He places great importance on that. I have failed miserably, so I don't need to do that. And sometimes I just wonder within myself if I thought that my actions here on earth decided whether or not I am going to live in heaven in eternity, then how different would my life be? But we've been shown that that's not the case. And we're given such great opportunities here to serve one another. And it's in reverence to God. It's not out of fear, being afraid that I won't be in heaven. It's out of fear and reverence to God. He deserves what we give Him and so much more. When I and I see that, I tell you what, some of you all here make me feel so bad in seeing your lives and how dedicated you are. It's uplifting, yes, but I contrast it to me, and yet it encourages me to do better. That's what we should do for one another, and yet we have to be present for that to happen. However many times that we're together, and the communication that Brother Jeff spoke of and all, it's a constant reminder, and it brings us closer together in Jesus Christ to hear, because we all will see Jesus Christ one day in heaven. Now, skipping over to contrast this, it's Jesus Christ speaking again. In the 43rd verse, he says, why do you not, and he's not speaking to the same Jews which believed, but he says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you this truth, ye believe me not. So here are some that do not believe. And I happen to think this is the greatest preacher that ever walked the earth. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here he's saying, even because ye cannot hear my word, they didn't have the ear that they could even hear Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, there. What hope would I have of saving a dead alien sinner, one that is not a child of God or one that's not regenerate? How would I save them with the preaching of my gospel? Jesus Christ could not. He didn't. He knew. And talking to them, he could. He knew his children. He knew which was and was not there. We don't have that judgment. We don't need it. We see the fruits that we one another bear. And we give God the praise for that. But he didn't. These didn't hear his speech. They were not the Jews that believed. But those Jews that believed him had an ear to hear, as it says over in Revelations. And we're to be disciples of Christ. That we live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit, and that's a great demand. And so I have to spend all my time trying to accomplish Galatians 5 and 25, and because I don't have to spend any moment, one instant, in trying to save myself eternally, I can serve Christ as a disciple. I can do that. I can serve him as I should. And then there's great blessings in that, in encouraging one another. As I look upon your faces, I know the encouragement you've given me and Kathy in the last year. And really, I don't give you much credit. It's through God Almighty that you've done that. I give him all the praise, honor, and glory for that, for what you've done unto us. And because he deserves it. I know that I don't deserve it. So the belief here is tied certainly directly to faith, to the evidence that they already had. These did not have it in the 43rd, 44th verse there. And so now let's go to the third chapter of John. After Jesus Christ has just been talking about regeneration, being born again, trying to explain in natural terms, he continues that with Nicodemus. He in verse 9, third chapter of John, says, how can these things be? Nicodemus asks. And then as we jump down to what I need, it's a misinterpreted verse, but the 16th verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth, we can go and read a short book, epistle, the 1 John, and see the definition. Who is it that believes currently, right now, believeth in the only begotten Son, and he so loved the world. The English language does not have enough words for the word world that the Bible has, but this is the elect world, that he did not love the entire race of Adam, every human being, and then give them the opportunity to be saved eternally. We wouldn't have taken it. If someone's despondent, if they are depressed or worried that, well, God, he must not be a loving God because he didn't give everyone the chance, we wouldn't have taken it in the first place. We would not have taken it because we were dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians chapter 2 and 1. But whosoever believeth in him, 15th verse, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he so loved the world. That gives a measurement there, that word so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so so we believe in him. And so what do we do with that? And there are many that don't, of children of God, that don't have the opportunity. These things have not been revealed to them. They will be in heaven. There are ones that I stand firm on my love for them who their lives have been messed up so much but I can go to sleep at night in total peace knowing that they will be in heaven. I've seen the fruit that they have bear in their life, and so that's a comfort to me. And yet I would have the church houses overflowing, not simply to for my ego, but to be able to expound again and remind all of children of God, believers, of what God did for them. It's edifying. It's uplifting to us. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 31, 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people. Israel represented, typified the entire elect family of God. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So being an eternal, unchangeable God, as I tried last Sunday, or the Sunday before last, I guess it was, to preach not simply on sin, but the fact that God certainly has the power and has shown us that He could consume those who sinned against Him, but we are not consumed because of the perfect love of God and the covenant that He made with His people, and He will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. I'm thankful for that, but I still stand in my life now under the judgment of Jesus Christ, and yet I fall on His mercy and His love for me in my life. We're given, that's the knowledge we're given, whether we, if I walk out of this church house and never step into any church ever again, gather together as the church, then I'll have to accept the ramifications there. But I know that I will be in heaven. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Redeemer. And so I'll have that knowledge and that peace continually. I believe that I'll have that even if I grow faint in my mind, in my memory, because it's not written in my mind. It's written in my inward parts, in my heart. It's there. And I'll still have that peace and comfort. But I need to be reminded of it, and the place to do that is among God's people in the church. Now in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, around the 12th verse or so, Jesus Christ again speaking here. 13th verse begins a new thought, new paragraph here, chapter 7 of Matthew. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Again, this is not speaking of anything eternal. This is here and now. This broad is the way. And I see that. I see that more greatly today. Broad is the way, but it's here and now. Because, the 14th verse, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This is not talking about human beings becoming children of God, just as in Revelation, it's talking about Jesus knocking at the door. He's not talking. That's about entering the church. Jesus Christ has so much greater power. He has perfect power and ability in omniscience and omnipotence to where he doesn't need to ask us to become a child of God. That we're passive in that. But here, this really backs up the 25th verse of the 5th chapter of Galatians, that if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Narrow is the way. And today it seems like in the world and the accessibility of the things that are sinful, it's at a moment's reach, and it's difficult to withstand those things. It's becoming harder and harder. But narrow is the way. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. God gives us the blessings and the power. His power alone gets us through those things and leads us in this narrow way there. And so we remember Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in them. Jesus Christ even saw those that would not respond to his preaching there. They were his word even was foolishness to them there. Maybe some of those there, were not able to hear his word. I think of those and again, it's simple curiosity, but those, I wonder, that are born again, born from above, way later in life. I've never witnessed anyone. I've seen those that come and join the church between 80 and 90 years old, but they were already children of God. We have been given a great opportunity in our lives to live a life in walking in the Spirit, because we live in the Spirit already, and we will always live in the Spirit. That has our walk has nothing to do with that. But if I have any experience at all in my life, it's knowing that when I'm not walking in the Spirit and not entering into that straight and narrow way here in my life, I see the suffering there in my life, and then I fear I am affecting those around me, as we see in some of the kings and the prophets of old that did that. And those around them. In fact, it said when I preached out of Numbers, I think 16, back at Old School last third Sunday, that he told them to separate themselves from those before you were consumed in their sins there. And we saw that over 14,000 were consumed by God prior to Aaron atoning for them in the presence of God there. So we know he's able. I know he is. I don't understand completely why I'm not consumed, but I know that I will not be, because God promised that, and because of the perfect love of God. And we have that within us. That's why you had the desire to come today, unless it was just for lunch. I don't know. Kathy has an uncle that he loved coming to Primitive Baptist Church because of the natural food. Well, that's fine, but maybe he heard something when he was here. So you continue to pray for this church in this year, that we might grow, as Brother Billy prayed, not only grow in the Spirit but in number, so that we might share that love of Christ with them, and have a testimony to them, whoever God would send and bring to us. I'm thankful to have those opportunities in my life, and you continue to pray for this church. I pray for each of you, and I pray for this church every morning, that God would bless her in spite of me, and to bless me to serve you in serving God, because that's what we're called to do here in discipleship unto him. May God bless and keep you.